Hey there! Welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People. My name is Sean, and next to me is my beautiful wife, Carrie Jones.
Sean is a former cop and now his own businessman, and this writing podcast is about writing.
What?
And life. And being quirky. We start with a random thought recorded somewhere in our house, oftentimes in our bedroom. And then we do a writing tip and a dog tip. Why do we talk about writing? Because I'm a writer.
Because Carrie Jones is an international and New York Times best-selling author. She knows a whole heck of a lot about writing.
But not about life.
Well, we do stumble through life quite a bit, and you'll experience that if you keep listening.
Let's start with a random thought.
All right, let's go, baby.
Hey.
Hey there, baby.
It's random thought in the office again.
It feels like the bed, though. In my head.
Shawnee's a little tired, and he's having fantasies of living somewhere warm with monkeys in the trees. We live in Maine and it's winter and it's really, really dreary right now.
Well, we're drinking this delicious Cuban coffee and I thought, how fantastic would it be to sit out on our deck and look out over the ocean, listen to the monkeys chatter.
So I've been thinking a lot about what it is to be brilliant.
Oh, yeah?
And like,
you're
yeah.
You're pretty brilliant, babe.
Oh, my gosh, no.
You are.
And the good and the, and like, I was thinking about it because a new person has been appointed to Joe Biden, the next president's cabinet, and everyone's like, he's so brilliant. It's so exciting to have brilliant people back in the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Which obviously made me think about what does it mean to be brilliant and like what you define as brilliant.
Right.
And then I was thinking about like the kids in high school who were supposed to be brilliant.
Yeah.
Or college and then kind of
fizzled out after
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Or like, you know, you have an occasional adult friend and they're like, everyone's like, that person's brilliant. And you're like, but they're so miserable.
Right.
Or you're like, if they're so brilliant, why are they barely surviving financially and they're so miserable? Or like, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
So it made me start thinking about being brilliant and how, like, what is it? Like, a lot of, like, you find blogs and stuff about, like, what is it? Like, what makes smart people? What are their good habits and their bad habits and how to be smart? And, like, the number one thing is always, like, read a lot of books.
Right.
And take in a lot of information, right? Like,
well, you have to have some positive personality traits to go along with that brilliance to make
that,
you successful,
dude,
right?
That's totally the point. That's the point today of our whole podcast.
Oh, we can just stop now then. Not really.
But the point is that, like, as you know, I'm a writer, so I'm always pro-reading. But, like, they say that the benefits of reading are things like it increases your verbal skills. I obviously know. It helps articulate your thoughts. I obviously know. But it also, you know, helps you solve problems, increases your empathy, improves your memory, helps you be a better writer by looking at how other people write, right?
Okay.
And it helps you concentrate. And so those are all allegedly things that benefit you to help you become smarter.
That's reading.
Just from reading.
Right.
Right. And that none of those things that people always mention has anything to do with the actual information that you're, like, getting in.
Right.
Because even when you read fiction, you're reading about other worlds and other people's thoughts. And you get tidbits of information in a well-thought-out story. Like, you see a story set in Charleston, South Carolina, and you're going to know a tiny bit more even about Charleston, South Carolina. You read a police procedural, you're going to know about a little bit more about police, right? Like, you even gather information from fiction is all I'm saying.
Right. And I think that's part of the thing, too, because I was a voracious reader.
Yeah.
But I always read fiction.
Yeah.
So I wasn't reading, you know, nonfiction text style books that increased my real knowledge.
Right.
And so, it didn't help me any.
Yeah.
Except for the vocabulary, probably.
Yeah, probably. So anyways, they also say that smart people set goals. And I'm not sure if this is true. I think achieving people set goals.
Right, that's right.
But I'm not sure. I know a lot of really smart people with really high IQs who cannot set a goal.
Or manage time.
Or manage time. Or speak to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at all. And the another one that often you see in an infographic is that intelligent and brilliant people are self-disciplined. And I don't think that's always true either.
No, it's not. That's why we have those people that are supposedly super brilliant and barely scraping by.
Right. And they also say that a lot of smart people think about thinking a lot.
They think about thinking?
Yeah. Which I think is kind of true, actually.
That's a waste of time.
But the bad habits that they give all the smart people is, or that smart people tend to have, is that they have a lot of anxiety. They drink a lot, maybe, or might use drugs to kind of alleviate that anxiety because they overthink. And then they're night owls, a lot of them, allegedly. And so, like, they, like... There was one study that had a bedtime by IQ, and it, like, the higher the IQ, the later the bedtime, basically.
Holy moly. Our 12-year-old must be a genius.
Yeah, man.
As is our 26-year-old.
Yeah. They're, like, the smartest people ever. They have, like, 300 IQ. But, yeah, I think that's kind of interesting. I don't know, because I think that sometimes we mix up.
Man, our IQ is super low, dude.
Our IQ is not super low.
If you go by the bedtime, chart. Yeah.
Oh, whatever. We're just old people. Yeah.
I think that chart sucks.
That chart's stupid. That's fake news, man, that chart.
Open mine.
Anyway, so the other things that they say about it is that, like, if you're brilliant, you seek information instead of developing social skills, and so that's why a lot of brilliant people are awkward when they talk, and they think too much, so, like, they might not be in the moment when they're talking to you, and then they psych themselves out because they think too much, right?
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, what's going to happen next? Oh, what's going to happen next? Oh, what's going to happen next?
Right.
And they're like, I don't want to leave the house. And then they also sometimes have a hard time dealing with fear and other big emotions.
And apparently by that picture, they're all nerds.
And they're all nerds. No!
Only smart people watch Star Trek.
That's very true.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Dude, I started off writing Star Trek fan fiction, and you know what? That's okay.
Oh, that's great. Man, there's nothing wrong with Star Trek.
But didn't you know, like, super brilliant kids, like, the valedictorian of your high school?
Oh, yeah.
What did they end up doing?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know. Even remember who it was. Good Lord. They may not even be alive still.
That's really sad.
What? That I don't keep track?
No. I feel like we should just talk about sex. It would be more fun.
Hell yeah. I guarantee you not. Oh, never mind. I can't go there. So many things I want to say, people.
So many things, which is why we're going to have to start a second podcast where we can talk naughty.
I will throw out this challenge, though, because next month, Carrie and I are doing it. And it's called F Your Way Through February.
That is so not true.
Instead of
we're not doing this.
Instead of dry January.
No.
You got to try to.
No.
Have sex at least once a day, every day in February.
Dude, no.
Challenge. I challenge you all.
Writing tip of the pod.
You stole my thunder.
I do. Sean always does that, but I'm annoyed at him for F your way through February. And now we have to have an explicit label on our podcast.
No, I didn't say the word. But that could be another challenge. I challenge you to say the F word. Drop the F-bomb at least once a day.
Me?
Every day in February. No, me? The whole world. All of our, all 12 of our listeners.
254,000 downloads,
and
babe.
Pass the link for this podcast on to your friends so they can. It's like the Ice Bucket Challenge, but much easier and more fun. You can combine the two. You can drop the F-bomb while you're effing, every day during the month of February.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I don't know how we're married.
Because of my love of sex.
No, that's not.
And my brilliance.
We're so incompatible.
We are not. We compat pretty well.
Okay, anyways. My family laughs at me because I'm really stupid, and this has nothing to do with the writing tip of the pod, but I'm just going to bring it out here.
Look at all the cream in there. I'm sorry to interrupt you. It was the bottom of my coffee
cup. You're such a jerk sometimes.
I know, we're not even compatible.
We're really not. Okay. For all of you who cannot see my face, which is everyone, she's glaring at him. I am glowering at him right now, and he deserves it. He thinks he's so funny. I'm not even going to talk about what I was going to talk about.
Oh, please do.
Nope, you've ruined
it. No, please talk about how your family thinks you. Ruined it. What were you going to say? Your family thinks you what?
Never mind. So please, let's go.
No, wait. Don't give me the pointy shush finger.
I am giving you the pointy shush
finger. Please, I want to hear it.
You lost it because you were too busy being a jerk.
Oh.
Smacking me down when I was in the
middle. I wasn't smacking you down.
Now everyone's going to hear us arguing.
We're not arguing.
We're definitely arguing.
What did I tell you just the other day on Facebook? We never argue. Sometimes it just takes you longer to prove to me that I'm wrong.
You're wrong, buddy. All right,
well,
so.
Well, I already apologized. Please continue.
Let's go on. If I wasn't lazy, I'd edit all of that out, but I'm just far too lazy.
Except for that long pause where you were truly frustrated.
I'm so frustrated right now. So, our original name for the podcast episode, which we do not know, we no longer know if it's going to still be our name, is Are You Brilliant But Things Still Suck?
That's me.
No, that's me. So there are people out there who are just brilliant and their brands are amazing. Their art is like gasp inducing, but they can't seem to achieve their goals. And these are like, you know, people who know 22 languages. They maybe have 5 master's degrees and they shrug all of that off like it's no big deal. And they can quote Derrida and Angela Davis in the same breath and make the connections between the two. Those kind of people. So, Sean is giving me a face already.
No, I heard a noise out in the abyss, and I was wondering who Derrida was.
Derrida was a philosopher, a political philosopher, who believed in deconstructionism. And talked about polarities in thought a lot.
Yeah.
And then would deconstruct political thought, language, literature, reverse the polarities to try to create more equity sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. And anyways, so according to the writer blogger Jessica Wildfire, she has like the best name.
That's a pretty cool name.
It's like a erotic
name. I was going to say, I'm not even going to make an innuendo out of it, but it's a good name. Never mind.
But according to Jessica, some people are, quote, too good for their own good. And she calls this the Cold Mountain Effect. Do you remember the novel Cold Mountain, babe?
The name sounds familiar, but I don't think I've ever read it.
All right. So she writes, Sean's going to read it.
Someone can know too much. They can be too talented. They'll turn any project into an epic journey through the Himalayas. They don't get tired of working. They don't want to see the end. They're not even perfectionists. They just love their work too much.
And so her concept stems from the story of the writer of Cold Mountain.
It
which she says.
History in 1997 with a 61-week run on the New York Times bestseller, moving 3 million copies. Based on its success, Charles Fraser got an $8 million deal for his second book, with nothing more than a one-page proposal. Cold Mountain swept the award scene that year and went on to become a hit film that earned 7 Academy Award nominations. Sometimes it takes an intervention. You probably don't know that Fraser spent almost a decade working on Cold Mountain. According to Lure, he couldn't stop. One of his friends finally snuck an unfinished copy of the manuscript to a literary agent who signed Fraser on the spot. That's the only reason anyone knows anything about Charles Fraser. It's hard to imagine how long he would have kept revising it.
Which is really interesting. Stephen King has a slightly different origin story about his writing career in that he allegedly took the manuscript, Carrie, threw it, trashed it into the garbage somewhere in their main home or trailer. I think they lived in a trailer then. And his wife, Tabitha, snatched it up and sent it to a literary agent.
Really?
That's the story.
I should start doing that for you.
Apparently, yeah. I have an agent though.
I know.
All right.
All that stuff you keep throwing in Josh, I'll just send her.
Anyways, for King, it was perfectionism that made him keep going. But allegedly for Frasier, it wasn't perfectionism. But, and this is what Jessica argues, is that what kept him going, Charles, was the fear of his own success. Or it could have just been the joy that he got from creating and doing and not wanting to stop. Like, and not wanting that joy to stop
I
with the
can see that.
possibility of rejection, or you can still dream of success after you get rejected. But for a lot of us, we have like this fantasy of instantaneous success, and the
Yep.
moment you get rejected, that fantasy is like
Hey,
popped
nobody
out.
wants to get rejected.
No, man.
And it takes some cojones to take that step. But
Cody.
you gotta do it if you ever want to get published, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Suzanne Babel, who is a PhD and an MFT on Psychology Today's blog, talks a little bit more in depth about that fear. And she's dealt with a lot of clients who are afraid of success. And many of her clients actually had PTSD from things in their past. So she wrote,
For them, the excitement of success feels uncomfortably close to the feeling of arousal they experience when subjected to a traumatic event or multiple events. This feeling of arousal can be linked to sexuality in certain cases where trauma has been experienced in that realm, but that is not always the case. People who have experienced trauma may associate the excitement of success with the same psychological reactions as trauma. They avoid subjecting themselves to excitement-inducing circumstances, which causes them to be almost phobic about success.
breathe, Shawnee, breathe.
There is another layer to the fear of success. Many of us have been conditioned to believe that the road to success involves risks such as getting one's hopes up, which threatens to lead to disappointment. And many of us, especially if we've been subject to verbal abuse, have been told we were losers our whole lives in one way or another. We have internalized that feedback and feel that we don't deserve success. Even those of us who were not abused or otherwise traumatized often associate success with uncomfortable things such as competition and its evil twin, envy.
So she suggests doing this exercise to try to deal with all your negative cognitive scripts in your head about success and failure. And so the first part is to recall an event where you were successful or excited when you were younger and notice how you're feeling and sensing in your memory and to stay with that sensation for 5 minutes. And then the next step would be to
Recall an event where you were successful and excited recently in your life and notice what you're feeling and sensing. Stay with this sensation for 5 minutes.
So, and then you want to tap into the sensation of a memory of an overwhelming situation. She suggests not to start with a really, really, really traumatic event, like, unless you have a therapist right there, but instead to start with something only moderately disturbing to you.
Now, go back to visualizing your success story. Do you notice a difference?
And you will. And that's the point, right?
Yeah,
Like,
so you can gradually make the two the same. I mean, on the good
the
end of the
good and
spectrum.
good. So our writing tip of the pod, all condensed, is that you have to be brave sometimes and show your work to the world. Don't get stuck endlessly tinkering because you love a project too much or because you're afraid of failing. You'll love another project, man.
Yeah, if you're doing something you love,
Yeah, man,
shouldn't be
right?
project specific, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, take the example of like sex, because we've already going to have an explicit thing on our
We
thing.
haven't cussed.
Well, I know, but you've talked about the subject, babe.
Oh, is that enough?
Yeah, for me it's enough.
Okay,
So,
wait.
because I like to protect the
You know I
children
live by
from
your
knowing them.
standards, so.
I never get to say the things I want to say because you're... All right, so like to say, like, imagine that your story is like sex, right? And you really like having sex. You're one of those people who like to do it, right?
Okay.
But you know you're going to stop doing it eventually.
If you say so.
Yes. Like, you can't just have sex all day, 24/7.
No, right? It's physically
You impossible. Have to end one sex project and start another. And yeah, maybe, like, the next sex project won't be exactly the same and you won't love it as much. But then the next night, maybe you will and F your way through February. So, just like NaNoWriMo, where you want to write a certain amount of words every day to get to an end, that's what you want to do. Like, you can use the metaphor of intercourse to... think of something that you enjoy doing, but you know it comes to a stop. That's you a, might that's love a writing your novel, but eventually you need to stop revising and set and like come to the end and then start your next project. I thought this metaphor or example would help Sean get it.
Oh, I got it.
Okay, good.
I mean, I think you brought up a good point there, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Because you can't expect every next event to necessarily be better than the last.
No.
Especially when it comes to set. I mean, you can get into the realms of dangerousness if you keep trying to improve on it. You know what I mean? It's more like peaks and valleys. And every once in a while, you'll get a higher peak. And sometimes you'll get a lower valley. But you gotta keep striving.
Remember. Keep striving.
F your way through February.
F your way through February.
Write your way through every day. Dog tip for life. So, after listening to our podcast, Sparty Dog says, don't be afraid to have hope. Bad crap is going to happen once in a while. Now, bad crap happens, but even if you've been abused, you've lived in the pound, you can find that success and excitement and the joy again. You've just got to keep moving forward. Us dogs do it all the time. Yesterday, I posted a little quote from our beloved Carrie Jones, one of her books.
Oh my goodness.
Onto our Twitter feed for Dogs Are Smarter Than People. You should follow us.
On Twitter.
And it applies
so much. We're trying there.
Yes. On Twitter. Everywhere. Follow us everywhere. But this applies really well. And I'm going to read you the quote. By the lovely Carrie Jones.
Awkward for me.
You know, life fractures us all into little pieces. It harms us, but it's how we glue those fractures back together that makes us stronger. And that's very true. Especially in today's world. Whether you're a human or a sweet little dog, you're going to experience bad things.
Right.
Just like you tell a child. The point is to learn from those and improve yourself, right?
Yeah.
Right. Take your time. Glue those pieces back together carefully.
No, you're brilliant.
Yeah.
But that you can also have goals and social skills, too.
You can be well-rounded.
You can. You can be a well-rounded
There's plenty of well-rounded smart people.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them, but I've met a lot.
You're smart, boo.
No, I meant well-rounded.
Oh. You're too angular, man.
No. Yeah. I love you.
I love you too.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Please be sure and like and share.
And subscribe and F your way through February.
Don't forget about that.
Oh my gosh.
Well, we got one more podcast to remind them, right?
Okay, yeah.
Sweet. Don't let me forget next All week.
Right. I can't believe it. We should make a hashtag.
Hashtag F your way through. Oh, I'm going to go do that on Twitter right now. Hello, everybody. We just want to say thank you for listening. We really appreciate it very much. And we enjoy this podcast and hope you do too. So please be sure to like, share, and subscribe this marvelous piece of information right here.
All the podcast notes and all of our podcasts are available everywhere, but the notes themselves are on Carrie Jones Books, CarrieJonesBooks.blog. And we wanted to do a special shout out because all the music that you hear in this podcast is that we've clipped and shortened is made available through the Creative Commons license. We have a link on our podcast webpage there to the artist's website, and the artist is Broke for Free, and the song is Summer Spliff.
Spleef! Summer Spleef!
I don't know how to say those pot words.
I don't even know for sure that's what they're talking about, but I like to pretend. And, baby girl.
Yes.
What's coming up new in our lives?
Hey, I have a new class, 6-month class at the Writing Barn that starts in February called Write, Submit, Support. And I have a new class myself, and you can contact me via the website if you want in. We have another new cool Patreon coming up.
Yes, we do. I'm excited about that.
We have another podcast coming out soon.
The Patreon's actually out.
Oh, yeah, man.
It's up and running.
It was out yesterday. Yeah. We haven't talked about it yet.
What can we do on that Patreon?
We can, you can take a teachable class, like, kind of thing, and learn how to write killer scenes in just one day for $25. Yeah. You can also...
buy some of your books.
Yeah, get PDF versions of my books.
Support the podcast.
And you can support this podcast.
What else do we have coming up, Lovie?
I have a new book coming up soon.
Woo-woo!
It's the sequel to The Places We Hide. Yeah. And I just mentioned our other podcast.
Did you mention that we have a new podcast coming out soon?
Yeah, man.
Oh.
We haven't named it yet.
No, but I'm so excited about it.
He's way excited about it.
Because we don't have to be all like G-rated and stuff.
Yeah, it's not as G-rated.
I'm going to get to cuss.
He's going to get to swear.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to have a video with it, too.
Thanks again, folks. We truly appreciate it and love you.
Yeah.